Thank you for being here today. You know, it doesn't matter what the circumstance is, how hot you feel, how hot you don't feel, God's still good. And so it doesn't matter, and we can worship through anything and get through anything. So I just want to thank you for being here today. Happy Easter. And today is actually a celebration. We are not mourning the death of Jesus because he's not in the grave anymore. And so as believers, we are celebrating that he is at the right hand of the Father today, looking down, making intercession for us, and he wants good things for us today. And so I just want to encourage you in that to know that you actually, you came on a good day. This is your first time because the tomb is empty. He is risen. He's actually risen indeed, and he's not going back. And so if he's not going back, guess what? You have to go back. And so what that means in your life, that whatever has been buried or whatever's happened in your past is dead, is buried. So you don't have to resurrect that back up because he died to pay for that. And so today we can walk in freedom because of who Jesus is. And so the way we do things here at church is we just have church and we kind of flow with it and just kind of talk a little bit. And so hopefully today you're going to get something out of what I'm saying, because I believe that anytime you come into church, especially on Easter, there's something that happens on days like this where we actually get just a greater glimpse of what he did for us. Not that it's just something that he did half-heartedly, but he did wholeheartedly. And I appreciate what John did up here as he painted. He did a great job up here. As you look at this, and as you look at his eyes are pointing forward, that he was doing this because his Father wanted him. And you know that you're here today because of what Jesus did for you. Without the sacrifice of Jesus, we're not here talking about him today. You're not here today walking in the freedom that you're walking in today because of what he did. And so I believe that as we go into the scripture today, that God wants to show us some things. And so in Isaiah chapter 53:5, it says this: "But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He has been beaten so we could be made whole. He was whipped so we could be healed." God didn't just die so that you can just live a half-hearted life. You can live a life of emptiness. You can live a life where in some areas you're blessed and other areas you're not. I believe that he died for your total freedom and for total blessing in your life. It does not mean that we don't struggle against sin. You are going to struggle until the day we die. But because of Jesus Christ and what he's done and the Holy Spirit living through us, you can overcome that sin and you can move on to victory in your life. You don't have to stay stuck in it because of what Jesus did. He got up. So he is up and alive today. So that means that every single day that you have that opportunity to get up and live for him. Well, no matter what's taking place in your life, total healing in your life. He went through it so you didn't have to go through it. And that's the difference in Christianity as compared to maybe other religions, is the fact that we have a God who actually died for us because he knew that we couldn't do it and has raised us up back to life again because of his sacrifice today. And he's constantly drawing us into that relationship with him so that we can point and see the fact that what he actually did, that the sacrifice was great enough. How many of you even know in your life right now that his arms are never closed? They're always open for you. And he's always wanting you to see the sacrifice. It was enough. He doesn't have to do it again. You see, if you're saved in here, you don't have to get saved again. You see, people have this mindset where, well, I have to ask God for forgiveness and ask him in my heart again. No, if you've done that already and you've made Jesus your Lord by faith, you are saved. By faith, you are saved. By grace, you are saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God so that no man can boast. And so you're not boasting on the fact that it's some sort of gift that all of a sudden you just magically conjured up. You are boasting in the fact that it is a gift that God has given to you and has given you the opportunity to receive it. And if you have received it by faith, you are saved. And so, but the challenge is to walk in that. And that's where most people get tripped up. Because what they do is they kept and keep looking back to what was based upon their performance and based upon how good they are. And all they're doing is making salvation out of a performance or a work thing and not realizing it's not a performance or a thing. It's a grace thing. And it's a grace thing that God extends to each one of you and says, listen, if you'll just accept it, it's a free gift. Well, what do you mean? Don't I have to do something? No, it's a free gift. And it's that gift that keeps on giving. How many of you have ever been at the ocean? You've been maybe lately, you've been in the ocean by the beach. My wife loves the beach. There's something about the waves that it's just, it's mind-boggling. They just keep coming in. They never stop unless we know there's a tsunami or something, and something draws them out, and then eventually it comes out and downpours on us. But when you're on the beach, you see the waves keep coming in. It's a picture of God's grace in your life. It's that grace that keeps coming after you over and over and over again. That's why some of you are here today. It's because God's love and his grace wouldn't let you go. And he kept calling you back into him. You know as well as I do that you could have been a statistic, that you should have been dead, you shouldn't have made it, but he pulled you out of where you were to show you who he is. And it's not like he just did it one time. You know he did it multiple times so that you see his goodness in your life, because what he says is, listen, I died so that you can live a better life than you're living right now. And how many of you would agree that the life that Christ offered is probably better than the life you were living? Okay? And so when you look at this whole relationship with Jesus and his sacrifice, he died for life. Not so that we can just experience a little bit, so that we can experience all of it. But the enemy comes in and tries to bring distraction and confusion into our life and make this a works thing instead of a grace thing. Because what he says is that because you didn't, God won't. And it has nothing to do with that. Because God already did because you couldn't. And so he does that in your life constantly. And why is this important day to talk about grace? Because sometimes we don't look at grace in a proper way. We look at it as a license to do whatever we want to do, but that's not what grace is. Grace gives you the ability to believe Jesus for the things that you know only that he could do in your life, and it also gives you the ability to live and to overcome in your life. Not so that you can stay stuck and go backwards and do whatever you want, but so that you can press and move forward and experience healing, total healing in your life. And me and my wife, God wants to bring us into total healing in our life. And what does that look like for you? It means that you don't move back, or you don't go back to the crutches in your life that hold you hostage. And a lot of us are held hostage in our mind because of things that have happened to us, or held hostage in our emotions because of things that have happened or didn't happen to us. And God wants us to learn to walk and to live by faith rather than to live through broken emotions. Because what happens is that when you live through broken emotions, you always get a skewed view of who God is and what his perfect love actually looks like, when it has nothing to do with your performance, but everything to do with what he did and the value that he places on you. And so once the emotional aspect of you begins to heal, all of a sudden you begin to look at God in a different way, like a loving father actually is. That he actually does have good things for you and wants a relationship with you and wants to see you succeed in your life. That's who God is. And I can venture to say that even as I'm speaking right now, I'm saying right now, yeah, but you know what? I just don't believe that God is that loving father to me. It's to correct that point of view. And the way that he corrects that point of view is by pointing you to the cross and by showing you the scars in his hands and in his feet, and for you to see and get a glimpse of what the actual sacrifice of Jesus means to you. Do you know the only person who can get that glimpse for you is you? You can have a great worship service, and this is the venue that God uses in order to come down and to do something in your heart and speak to you, but until it becomes a personal revelation to you, it will not become real, and you will not walk differently in your life, because it'll always be based upon what someone else has said or done. I believe, listen, if you want God to show up in your life and for God to show you how real he is, he will do that. But be prepared because of what he does in order to get you there. Because as a good father, he moves out distractions and things in our life that don't need to be there so that we can focus on him alone. And I'm going to say this, and my dad said this years ago, and I remember it today, just like it was yesterday. When he gave his heart over to the Lord, he felt like God said to him, hey, listen, It's just me and you now. Do you know the reality and how profound that is? It's not you and your wife. It's not you and your kids now. He said, no, it's between me and you now. That's why salvation is personal. And this salvation, while he died for mankind, he died so that we can work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, because he wants a relationship with you. One of the most important things, and I'm getting excited about this, because of Peter in the New Testament, when they were asking Jesus, well, who do men say that I am? And they were saying, well, some say you're Elijah or one of the prophets. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, hey, listen, but hey, who do you say that I am? Because that is the most important question you will ever answer in your life. Not which job you're going to take, not who you're going to marry, even though that's top. But most important is, who do you say that I am? Because it's that answer that's going to get you through some of the most difficult times in your life, some of those trying times in your life, that's going to give you a hope and a foundation that's going to help you stand in the midst of horrific situations and things that are going on in your life that you have no idea or no control over or can't understand. It's that answer and that foundation that you build on that's going to help you stand in the middle of it. Nothing else. Nothing. And until you answer that question, you'll always wonder who he actually is. And he'll go to great lengths to show you if you'll let him. But he died so that you can see him that way. He didn't die so that you can maybe die so that the whole world could see him, but so that you could see him on your level. And what that looks like. God has a relationship in store for Craig. Okay? God wants a relationship with Sean. Sean, the scars are there, and they're for you. And so when I was whipped and when I was flogged, it was for you. So by my stripes, you are healed. And so there's a difference between saying that, but actually living it and walking in it. Because most will say, yes, by his stripes I am healed, yes. But the reality is, for us to walk through that is difficult and it's hard, but it's necessary if you're ever going to experience the full life that Jesus has for you. The full life. Mentally, emotionally, physically, yes, and even financially in your life. Whipped. Most of us have seen the Passion of the Christ in here. You cannot say that that flogging scene does not give you a glimpse into the sacrifice and what it cost him. That every whip, every scourge, every beating was so that you could be made whole. And so when he comes after you and he wants to do something in your life, it's because he wants to show you the reality of what was on my back and what's in my hands and what's in my feet, is so that you don't have to walk around in dysfunction the rest of your life. You can walk around as a real son and as a real daughter of me and not have to go back to begging for life, because I died so that you can have life. You don't have to beg for it anymore. I've already given it to you. Now allow me to take you through the stages of what it looks like to actually walk like a son, to walk like a daughter, so that you can see things clearly. You know the song. I could see clearly now, the rain is gone. It's great when you can see it gone. It's difficult when you can't see it. But the rain comes so that God could do something in your life so you can see it. That's the great thing about windshield wipers. They help you see better. It's the great thing about the discipline of God in your life. It helps you see the peaceable fruit of righteousness so that you could see better in your life. Jesus underwent chastening so that you could be here today knowing how to live a righteous life. You knowing. And I think God looks up there and he looks down and he says, man, if you could just see the gravity of the Son made for you, you wouldn't keep going back to that same sin in your life that does nothing but tear you apart, that you would continue to receive the free gift of grace that I've given to help you overcome that thing in your life, and that you would actually begin to walk in freedom instead of going back to what you think is comfortable and bondage. So many of us in here, I'm telling you, what happens is we like to go back to the comfortable areas of our life, the areas of dysfunction in our life, because it's comfortable, but there's no life there. All there is death. And so God wants to get us out of that mindset and to actually walk us into freedom. Imagine in your life what it looked like. Think right now, if that one area of your life was healed, how you would walk different, how you would see different. If we could open up this room and we could see and there be an x-ray, all of us in here, or most of us in here, are walking bent, hunched over, bruised, things in our life that are out of place, but God came so that he could help you straighten out. Not to say that you won't ever walk with a bruise or have a scar, but just like Jesus, those things are a reminder of the sacrifice that he made so that you could be free. Those things are a reminder of what you went through or what you used to be, but you came out of it today. They're still there. Still there. Bruised, broken. That's all of us. But you don't have to stay in those broken places in your life. Do you know, in your life, one of the things, and if you've been coming for a while, you know that me and my wife and a group of people here, we've got a boot camp and CrossFit and et cetera. But here's one of the deals. What happens is a lot of times when people come in to actually start working out, they don't understand that if they have not done the workout or they have not done that type for a while, they're not going to be able to do what everybody else is doing because their body is not accustomed to what it takes in order for them to get or handle that type of weight or tension that's there. It's impossible. And so what happens is that you have to come in and totally get your body retrained to a point of where you are actually doing things right. So when you actually do a movement, you are actually doing a service to your body and not a disservice. And you're exercising the correct muscle and not the wrong muscle in your body. And so what that looks like is this. We have a little tagline at core and consistency. One of the things that we do and we concentrate on is our core stability. I'm going somewhere with this. You're going to relate to it. You'll be fine. Some of you are like, I'm getting it. Don't worry about it. Okay, you're fine. God still loves you. He's in it. Believe me, he lifts weights. Now, okay, one of the things that you understand about this whole deal is that if I can get my core stability right, there are things I can do that I would not be able to do at any other time in my life, but because my base is correct and I'm strong where I need to be strong, I can take tension and you know what I'm talking about. I can take weight when I need to take it. But I'm not where I need to be. My body is out of contortion and I do things wrong. And what happens is I end up getting hurt in my life in areas. And so you go to work to strengthen that so that you can progress. And so this is where I'm getting with this. Some of us in our life, what happens is because we were never taught correctly, or we were never healed correctly. Some of us, what happens is that we mask hurts instead of actually getting them healed. And we're actually walking correctly. We actually walk contorted. And so when life just hits us, instead of us standing firm in our faith, what we do is that we're tossed pretty easy because we don't have a strong foundation. We don't have a strong base where we need to have a strong base. And so the Lord comes in and goes to work on our foundation and says, listen, we got to get some core principles down right for you. You got to understand, number one, that salvation is a gift. You don't earn it. It's by grace. That's where we got to get. The next thing we have to start working on is some of these spiritual disciplines in your life. Prayer, fasting, community. These things we got to start working on. They have to be a regular part of your life so that when stuff happens in your life, guess what? You might wobble, but you don't fall apart. Because I'm interested in you being able to stand, appropriate the sacrifice that my son actually made for you, know who you are in me, and continue to stand and walk forward. I'm not interested in you getting knocked back all the time and not getting back up. I need you to be strong in your faith. Okay? And so what that means is in our life, God goes to work in our foundation, and then he builds on that foundation so that when each level of life begins to hit us, that we're able to withstand the issues that are there. Why are we talking about this? Because the sacrifice of Jesus is not just good to sing about on Sunday, to sing about on Wednesday, and not to do anything else with it in our life. A worship experience is great, but what he's looking at is the totality of your life and saying, hey, listen, is your life the way it's supposed to be lived? So the sacrifice for Jesus, think of your life right now. We're about to close. There comes a time where God wants to bring us from where we are to where we need to be. The tension that we have is whether or not I'm going to trust God to be uncomfortable for a little bit, for him to bring healing into my life so that I can get there, or I'm going to stay comfortable and be miserable. I know this about God. God didn't just die so that you could stay the same and not change. He wants change. This is what Easter is about. He died on the cross. He was buried. He descended down into hell, and he rose again so that you today could actually experience ongoing life. Ongoing life. He was going to die anyway, but what he said on the way was, listen, we're going to take these stripes, and we're going to add healing to it. We're going to add forgiveness to it. We're going to add all these things, because my sacrifice is going to area of your life, not just one, not just eternal salvation. I want you healed in every single area. So you got a question to answer today. Are you okay staying comfortable? Or do you want change? If you want change, you've got to be prepared for God to do something different in your life. And not just God to do something different, because God's always ready, but you to do something different. One of the things about being involved in a community is that it has this uncanny effect to spark excitement and growth in people. Whether it's a CrossFit community, or whether it's a health club community, or people who just love biking, whatever it is, something happens when people come together and life is just there. It fosters growth and excitement, and people want to progress in their life. But if you're not involved in any type of community or not doing life with anybody, what happens is that your life has a tendency to grow stale, because your salvation, while Jesus, while it's great and while it's personal, he's called us to do life together with other people. And so you have to find your tribe. You got to find the type of people that God wants you to be with so that you can actually experience that. And God places people in the body, whether it's here or whether it's somewhere else. God places people in the body for that reason. For you to do life together, because there's a place for you here. There's a place for you where God has you. It's a place. He brings you out of where you were and places you somewhere new. And for some of you, church-wise, it could be here. It could be somewhere else. But God never takes you out of somewhere and doesn't put you somewhere else, because he knows the benefit of you being around other people just like. Can we all stand up to our feet? One of our core values here is embrace community. And you know the name of our church is a community chapel, so that's what's there. But when you think about this element of why he died so that you can have a relationship with him. The ultimate community group, like you and Jesus. But then he says, listen, I want to take this up to the next level. I want to bring in other people around you, because when I begin to do that, you're going to begin to see things about me that you've never seen before. So I want to ask you today, every head bowed, every eye is closed as we're here. Maybe you're here and you don't really have a relationship with Jesus whatsoever. And we're here and we're talking about his sacrifice, and we're talking about what he did. but to you, it's not something that's real. But you know it's something that you need to accept and receive in your life. Because something's missing. And today you would say, hey, look, because I know that I need a relationship with Jesus. I don't have one. And I need to understand what this salvation process looks like, because the way I'm doing it right now, it's not working. You can't get saved by your good works. You can't get saved by what you do or how good you are. The only way that salvation comes into your life is by grace through faith. That you say, hey, Lord, I can't do it, but I know that you can. I pray that you would come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of the things of my life that have separated me from you. And I pray that you would come in. You would make me a new person and help me to know what it looks like to live for you. What it is it's saying, I can't do it, but I know that you can. And giving my life over to him. And so if you'll be honest today, and maybe this is your day, and say, hey, listen, will you pray to me, Pastor Richie, that I can know that salvation work of Jesus in my life because I want to be different. And you'll slip your hand up and you'll look at me and say, hey, will you pray for me? Nobody else is looking. Will you just, you'll say, hey, listen. All right. Father, I thank you for every person that's here today. Lord, I thank you for your goodness and what you've done, your sacrifice, and how it was enough. You are risen indeed. We know that you're not going back. About what you've done and the future that you have for us. God, we thank you for bringing us into healing and wholeness into our life so that we can see you as the loving Father that you actually are. God, I pray that you would help us, God, shed those things from our past. And God, embrace the life that you called us to live today, because we know that the life that you called us to today is better than what it used to be. In Jesus' name, amen.